the women's side. We're on the women's side. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say, woo! Somebody say, woo! To the Lord and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My Lord. Oh, I'm feeling better now. I'm feeling better now. I really do feel and believe that something good's going to happen here tonight. I really, really do. Somebody's going to walk out of here with their healing tonight. I believe it. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's going to walk out of here with their healing tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I got to get on with the message. I know there's cheesecakes and all this other stuff the elder mentioned tonight. My Lord, he's supposed to preach after all that. People got cheesecake on their mind. And fireworks. We're going to just have a few sparklers here tonight and prelude to the fireworks. But I do want to say, just give me a few more minutes. I want to say how much I appreciate my good friend, Elder Epley, and his good wife. And their friendship over the years. We have rode some rapids together. We've gone over the rapids together. And didn't have no barrel either. And trust me, you would not want to have been there. And yet, I appreciate the friendship down through the years and his confidence in me. And I also appreciate all of the preachers that are here tonight. If any one of you envies the position that I'm in, I am very happy to trade places with you right now. There's always somebody around, you know, if it was me, I tell you what I'd do. You just come on up here and do it. Come on up here and do it. Trust me, I'm not... Anyway, and also the great preaching that we have heard so far this week, beginning with Wednesday night, Brother Corcoran. And I'm not going to take the time to comment on every message, but everyone has been tremendous. Brother Jackson yesterday, great faith-building message on the hope that we have. And as, of course, Brother Jones talking about God's big guns last night. Lord, I hope he fires some of those big guns here tonight. And then today, it goes without saying that that was a classic, tremendous Bible class that we shall never, ever forget from our friend, Brother Groves. And I'm going to do my best not to be long tonight. I know you don't believe a word of that, but it's true. It really is true. Because I really do believe that God's going to work here this evening, and I want to do my part quickly and get out of the way. What I have to say is very basic. It's not complicated. It's not profound. Very, very basic. And I'm going to wander into a minefield tonight that really I don't feel that qualified to deal with. Some of you are far more than I am. But these are things that have been nagging at me and troubling me for a good while now, for several years. So if you've heard me preach here or there, you've probably heard me scratch on it some, regardless, because it's just been on my heart for so long. So when Brother Epley told me what the focus of the service was, it wasn't hard for me to think in this direction, although I'm not doing it just for that reason, but it's what I feel. Is that all right? Yeah. Turning tonight to a familiar passage in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. The book of Mark, the 16th chapter, the last chapter. And you'll have to forgive me. I broke my regular glasses the night before I traveled here. And had to leave early in the morning, so I didn't have a chance to get them fixed. And I had to stop at a Walgreens and buy these awful store-bought glasses. And I can hardly see at all with them or read. And so I'm in a fix this evening. God's going to have to help us. But if you'll help me, it'll be all right. Who's going to help me tonight? Amen. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse number 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not, I'm going to give him a little corner in heaven. Shall be damned. And these signs could possibly follow them that believe. Huh? You don't believe that, do you? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And this is perhaps as important a verse in this passage as any of them. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And this is probably not the best title to put on this, but it's just what came to my mind. I want to talk to you about the indispensable element of the supernatural.
My Lord.
The indispensable element of the supernatural. We've already prayed a lot, but let's pray right now. Lift at least one hand if you're holding your Bible and ask God to have his way. God, we praise you tonight. Ask you to have your way in this service. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing and your word that we have heard, received since the beginning. Pray that you'll help me now, Lord. I confess freely to you how incapable that I am, how flawed and imperfect. Oh, Lord, I wish you had a better vessel to use tonight, but I pray that your will might be done, that you would speak to this assembly through these feeble words tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I have, throughout the years of my ministry, preached hard about the essentiality and the purity of the preached word of God. The preached word. Because there's so many things coming up in the church world and even into the world of Pentecost these days to take the place of preaching or to edge it aside. Many one God churches are redesigning their interiors. With the focus being on dramas and presentations. And all the different colored lights for the special effects and creation of moods and all of that. And truth be known, there's probably a good percentage of people here tonight that would love that if it was offered to you. Because there is a natural appetite in the human being for the sensational. That's what they're doing in the charismatic movement. It's working for them. Why don't we try it in Pentecost? I'm not totally against a drama every now and then, a singspiration every now and then. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that'll take the place of preaching. Absolutely nothing that will take the place of preaching. Some of this goofy junk that's coming up in Pentecost, it makes me about half mad. Black lights and waving cell phones around and all the other stupidity and nonsense that's going on. Give me the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God. Well, that's what the people like, and that's what appeals to folks. This is an entertainment society. We're not supposed to give them what they want. We're supposed to give them what God wants and what they need. And anybody who thinks that they can put on a better program than God can, they fell out the wrong side of the bed and hit their head. I'm talking about a God that can spin up about a 500-mile-wide hurricane, who can cause the Borealis lights to dance on the morning in the Arctic sky, who can paint the evening with the sunset, who can press a blister on the earth and cause a volcanic explosion, who created the worlds with the word of His power, who spread them out as a curtain, measured them with a span, who's got hundreds of millions of angels at His beck and call, any one of which who could put on a dazzling presentation here tonight, the likes of which you've never even been able to imagine. You think God's short-handed in His ability to put on a program to impress and to dazzle? He could have come that way if He wanted to, but we heard today how that He came literally with the badger skins on. And the prophet said, when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. There was nothing impressive about His appearance. Just for a short time on the Mount of Transfiguration, He allowed them to see Him as He really was. But most of the time that was hidden because the focus had to be on the Word. The Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among them. Those that heard His Word were changed, were transformed, were made over again. And that God could put it on here tonight. He could open up the heavens before our very eyes. He could open hell and let us look into it. He could leave us with our mouths hanging open and our eyes bugged out. But my Bible still says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, for after that, amen, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. I don't care if it makes you happy or not. It pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, He would save them that believe. If you don't fall in love with preaching, you never will be saved anyway. You need a preacher, and you need to listen to preaching. I'm going to say it again because it still hasn't sunk in some people's minds. You need a preacher and you need to hear preaching more than you ever have in your whole life. Anybody love the preached word of God tonight? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And I could spend a lot of time on that because I have preached a lot about it over the years. But I'm gonna change a little bit directions and just say that I have also come to the conclusion in recent years that preaching by itself is not enough. That may sound like a contradiction of what I have said so far, but I'm gonna say it again. Preaching by itself is not enough. It simply will not get the job done by itself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It needs the confirmation of the supernatural that goes along with it. You may fall out with me here tonight, but I'm going to do my best to stay in the book. The Bible said, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Confirming the word. The word confirming doesn't just mean endorsing it. It means to establish it and make it sure, to drive it home. To drive it home. What it takes to really confirm the word is for the Lord to work with us. With signs following. I know what you're thinking. Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign. But I'm here to tell you, we can't do this by ourselves. We're not big enough. We're not smart enough. We're not intelligent enough. We're not eloquent enough. All of our programs, all of our fancy buildings, all of our great choirs and singers, we cannot do it on our own. We need supernatural help. It goes without saying we're living in challenging times. The world is rapidly changing around us. We're living in the days of terrorism, as you know. Terrorist outbreaks everywhere, all around the world. You don't know where it's going to strike next. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you that before it's over, in just the next few years, there's going to be massacres in shopping malls in America, in restaurants in America, in airports in America. Those bad folks are already here. They're plotting and scheming even as we sit here tonight. Terrible, devastating things are happening all over the world and they are coming to our shores. In fact, it has already arrived. They are with us. They are among us. Amen. We are facing dangers everywhere and rising threats on a scale that's hard for us to comprehend. Drastic changes taking place in politics. Did you ever dream of an election cycle like this one? Did you ever dream of having to make a choice between the two characters that we have to make a choice with this year? These are, as we've heard already in this meeting, these are very, very unsettling times. Economic uncertainties and societal changes. We're now today, amen, it is approved by the Supreme Court for same-sex marriages. And we commented on it last year and commented again this year. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. It matters only what God has to say. But the United States of America is no longer a nation under God. Indivisible. It is a pagan nation that needs to be evangelized just like any nation in the world. I have read that only 18% of all Americans attend church on a regular basis. That's less than 1 in 5. And yet there's churches everywhere that you look. And yet so few attend church. And only about somewhere around 60 to 70% of all church-going Americans believe in a literal heaven, or don't believe actually in a literal heaven, and don't believe in a literal hell, and don't believe in a literal devil. In America. Not talking about Asia, not talking about Africa, not talking about Europe, not talking about anywhere. I'm talking about America. America. This is where we live. This is what's happening. This is what's going on right here on our own shores. There is a tremendous surge in the interest in the occult in America. Go into any bookstore and there are whole sections that are devoted to the black arts and the occult and to sorcery. And one thing that helped to open that door wide and anesthetize this generation to the occult was the Harry Potter craze from several years ago. And you probably heard me say this before, but some years ago I read in Time magazine that because Harry Potter was such a tremendous craze that had swept our country, that even many denominational churches were converting their Sunday school facilities into Harry Potter themes because that's what was popular with the kids and the young people of today. You might look at it as just good versus evil, but God calls it sorcery. And the New Testament says in the book of Revelation, all sorcerers are going to have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And I was preaching about it in a youth conference, and a whole church group got up and walked out because they got offended over me preaching against Harry Potter. Somebody better preach against it. And when those kids got through reading all through the Harry Potter series and they have now an appetite for that, what are they going to read next? Go look at the other books beside the Harry Potter displays. Far more sinister, far more dark, far more evil. And now this society is enamored with vampires and all of that sort of thing. In the town next to where I live, in the town of Covington, they film a lot of films there for some reason. I don't know why. It's a small town, but many, many, many Hollywood films have been filmed there. And they film the Vampire Diaries there all the time. And I get my hair cut in the town square there. And sometimes when I go, they've got the whole thing cordoned off by the police because the filming crews are there filming Vampire Diaries. Vampire Diaries. Then there are other book series like the True Blood series, and it also has to do with vampires and bloodletting and all. This is our society. They drive next to you on the freeways. They work next to you. They serve your food at the restaurants. You're with them everywhere. It's all around us. I'm telling you, our society is infected with this stuff. And you think that just having ordinary church is going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. But here's the way I look at it too. And that is that this curiosity and interest that this generation has in the occult is also letting me know that there is a hunger in them for something bigger than themselves. There is a hunger for the supernatural. For something that's powerful. And guess what? We have it. It's called the Holy Ghost. It's called the new birth experience. If they could just feel God one time, they might throw away their books on sorcery just like they did in Ephesus. Come on, folks. We've got a greater alternative. We need power-packed church services that when they come in and sit down, they begin to feel something stir and move and shake them. See, nobody wants this. I beg to differ with you. Somebody wants this. These are just hard times. Nobody's going to live it. I beg to differ with you. Somebody's going to live it. You might not live it, you spoiled, pampered Pentecostal, but somebody's going to live it. We've got young folks growing up in our churches, and all they can think about is turning 18, where they can leave and do whatever they want to, and cut their hair and put on their makeup and wear their pants and look like the world and be like the world. When there's other young folks coming up, they don't know who their mamas or daddies are. They've come up in dysfunctional environments and families. They've been bounced from here to there, drug cultures, alcoholics, and everything. If they could feel this one time, if they could enjoy this one time. Y'all gonna let me preach this how I feel like preaching tonight? So I've told about being at a youth conference in California. Hey man, it's a big gathering, about 1,000 people there. And one night while I was waiting to preach and they were having song service, they got to singing, "It's All in Him." Remember that song? I still like some of those old songs. "It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him." And all of a sudden I saw movement to my left. And I saw a young man come bouncing over from the left-hand side from the platform. And he come right out here to the middle. And he was bouncing from one foot to the next. It looked like there was 12 or 15 feet in between bounces. He was going this way and that way and spinning around and dancing and shouting and rejoicing. And then I saw the teardrop tattoos on his face. And I realized this was an ex-gang member. And every teardrop represented a hit. But you know what? God had changed his life. And he was rejoicing over, "It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus." You said it last night. You're looking for the drug addict. You're looking for the alcoholic. You're looking for the displaced, the unwanted. Bless your heart. They're out there. And they need what we have. There's nothing like this Holy Ghost. There's nothing like this new birth experience. Hey amen. This isn't my message, but it could be. I'm just going to tell you this. We need a harvest of souls in our churches. It might come as a surprise to some. It is possible to grow. Besides just our young people growing up and marrying one another. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's possible to grow. To grow. With young people that come in with tattoos all over. Looking weird. All kinds of piercings and hardware stuck everywhere. It's possible to grow, brethren, without stealing one another's church members. It's possible to grow without proselyting one another. It's possible to grow without finding some fine hair to split with your brother so you can swipe 10 or 20 or 30 of his church members. We need revival in 2016. There's a world that's lost. And the Great Commission still rings true. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel. That's what made Paul walk unashamed into great pagan cities and even all the way to Rome. I'm ready to preach this in Rome because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel works in Missouri. The gospel works in Indiana and Illinois and Arkansas and Georgia. The gospel works in Tennessee. The gospel works in Central America. And the gospel works in South America. And the gospel works in Europe. Come on, folks, just because you have it. We need to pray that God will give us a harvest of souls in our churches. Lift your hands and love the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll say this and get off the subject, but when I was a pastor in Louisiana, there was a church close by that was going through some trouble. And a preacher acquaintance of mine said, if you'll play your cards right, you'll get about 30 of those people. I said, I'm not interested in playing my cards right. There's too many sinners to save. Too many dope heads that don't know anything about God that need to be saved. Instead of just getting a ready-made tithe payer that you don't have to teach hardly anything. I'm sorry. I guess I'm meddling. But Acts 2:38 still works. Let me just say this for the benefit of some that are in this place tonight. You're visiting. This all is weird and different to you. You're wondering what in the world is going on. And yet you've been searching all your life. Your search has come to an end. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to do what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Somebody could get baptized with the Holy Ghost here tonight. It's better than any beer. It's better than any whiskey. It's better than any pill. It's better than any weed. It's better than any injection. It's better than anything this world has to offer. It will change your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've got all kinds of challenges in our churches too. Amen. We've got folks that are mentally and emotionally and spiritually exhausted. They come to church, they're working two or three jobs, and they're so tired and they're so weary, and they can hardly get their hands up and worship. And all they can think about is, I hope they don't preach too long so I can get on home. People that are emotionally drained. Devil's been beating them up all day. Amen. We're dealing with all kinds of spirits in our time too. What happened to all these devils that Jesus cast out way back then? What happened to them? Did they get old and die off? Did that whole breed vanish? What happened to them? How come we never hear about them in America? How come we don't talk that much about them here? You reckon they're gone? They're extinct? They don't exist anymore? We're having to deal with them each and every day. Well, I'm not suggesting that Holy Ghost filled people are devil possessed, but there are many of them that are devil oppressed, that are being bombarded and tormented day in and day out by demonic spirits. And devils from hell. And they come to church and it's a struggle to lift their hands and worship. And then there's all sorts of things that break out in churches. Immorality and this and that and the other that we're having to contend with in these days. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, if we've ever needed a real, genuine, supernatural move of the Holy Ghost in our churches, it is today. We need more than just a few little songs and the neat little canned sermon and going home. We need something powerful that will move and shake us and stir us like never before. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We need it, we need it, we need it, we need it, we need it. We need it. We need it. Amen. No telling what's sitting in this place tonight. No telling what's going on in people's minds and hearts right here tonight. While folks are dressed every inch the apostolic, there's no telling how the devil is working in people's lives right here tonight. What we need is a move of the Holy Ghost. And because I told you I wouldn't keep you too long, I'm just trying to hit some things like a rock skipping on water. Amen. But you know what? What I'm happy about this evening is that in 2016, God has not left us helpless. And He's not left us vulnerable. And He's not left us, without what we need in order to defend ourselves. And not just defend ourselves, but to aggressively go against the powers of the enemy. He has equipped the church with everything that we need to face the challenges of our time. I think I preached here last year, we are the people upon whom the ends of the world are come. If He would get behind His people in Bible days, He will get behind His people today. And He will put all of heaven's resources at our disposal. He has endowed us with every tool, with every gift, amen, with every resource that we need, not only to survive, but to be successful and to have revival and be victorious in 2016. Pray for me, I'll hold on to the bitter end. I don't think we have to just be in a hold on to the bitter end mode. I believe we can be like Paul when he said, I'm determined to finish my course with joy. I'm not going to go in just barely crawling and dragging myself. I want to go in with a sprint. I want to go in with a flourishing finish. I don't believe the church of the living God has to bunker down in 2016 and hope and pray that the Lord comes before there's nobody left. I'm not preaching revival at any cost, but we can have revival and a move of God in this time. I believe He's equipped us. He's equipped the ministry. Bible said He ascended up on high and led captivity captive. And He gave gifts unto men. And He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But I like the Portuguese version of that better. Because what it says is He gave some to apostles and to prophets. In other words, gifts. He equipped each branch of the ministry, if you would, with the gifts that they needed to accomplish their mission and their task and their assignment. Pastor, friend, evangelist, no matter who you are, doesn't matter what town you're in, what kind of challenges and difficulties you're facing, God has equipped you with the gifts that you need to fulfill that mission. Don't walk around like an apology, feeling sorry for yourself. Square your shoulders and lift your head up high. And know that you are God's man for that place and for that time. And for the church, the Bible says that He has given us the Holy Ghost. And this Holy Ghost, by the way, is still power. You shall receive. You shall receive. You shall receive. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Any Holy Ghost filled people here tonight? If you really have it, then greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. We're not defenseless. If God be for us, who can be against us? God's fighting for his church, working for his church, working in his church. And God is in this place tonight. God is in this place tonight. I'm telling you, there is an absolutely indispensable element of the supernatural. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot do this without help. I can't preach without his help. I can't preach without his anointing. I can't accomplish anything here tonight without his unction. I've already prayed before this service, God, I'm dumber than a box of rocks. And I'm nothing and I have nothing. But if you can use me tonight to help somebody, because I can't do it by myself. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Matthew, elder. Matthew. All right. So here's a few of the things that are nagging at me. Then I'm going to get out of the way and we're going to pray. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, read verse 1.
He gave them power against unclean spirits.
He gave them power, Brother Parker. He didn't say, now through my power. He didn't just say, when you invoke my name. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. He gave them power to cast them out. And what? To heal a few random illnesses. He gave them power. You're going to fall out with me here tonight. But somebody's going to grab a hold of it. He gave them power to heal all manner of what? Of sickness. And all manner of diseases. He gave it to them. He gave it to them. What's the next verse? All right, skip past the names.
And as you go.
As you go. All right.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
As you go, preach and say. What verse is that? Verse 7. Thank you. Verse 7. As you go, preach and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You preach it. This is a message that needs to be revived in 2016. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. How can you say that? Because the head of the church empowered me and deputized me as part of the apostolic ministry to say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Next verse. What? What? That's a big leap in in our comprehension there. He didn't say, I'll heal the sick when you pray. I'm giving you power. Heal the sick. Say, he's going charismatic. He's going off the deep end. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm giving you this power. Now you go and heal the sick. What else? Cleanse the lepers. What else? What? What? I'm giving you enough power to raise the dead. What else? Cast out devils. Freely. You have received. Now what if, don't throw nothing at me here tonight, but what if billionaire Donald Trump said, I've got this enterprise over here, and so I'm going to give you the resources for you to go and accomplish this task over here. I'm giving you the resources, giving you the money. I'm going to give you the authority. I'm going to give you the manpower to accomplish this assignment over here. And you go over there and you say, I wish I could do it, but I'm not as rich as Donald Trump. Dummy, he just gave you. He just put in your power the resources, the manpower, and the authority. You have no argument. You have no excuse. Freely you have received, freely give. I don't know all the answers to all the questions there. All I know is what it says. And I'm looking at our situation today and I'm thinking there's something wrong with this picture. We are the church of today. Like I preached last year, Paul ain't here. Peter's not here. John's not here. And they ain't coming. But I'm here. I give unto you power. And it says at one point they came back rejoicing. Even the devils were subject unto us. And yes, it was at his name, because that's where the authority comes from. But the devils didn't say, we're waiting until the big man comes. I know you. I know all your flaws, your failures. I know all about you. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to obey you. No, they said, we have received power. Out! Get out! In Jesus' name. And the devils were subject unto them at his name. Hey, maybe you can interpret this better. I'm just looking at what I see here. He said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Y'all are looking at me like I'm a Martian. Next thing you know, he'll be launching a tent ministry or something. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I'm telling you, we need some help down here. And that's Luke. Luke chapter 4, you can be seated. Jesus comes into the synagogue after being tempted in the wilderness. And he comes into the synagogue and he picks up a scroll of the book of Isaiah. And he finds the place, a specific place, and he reads. The Spirit of the Lord. It's another spirit, by the way, not the kind we get. It's not the kind we get. We get the diluted kind. We get the anemic kind. We get the economic version. We get the trimmed down version. The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, that's what I'm doing. Hey, that's what I'm doing. Preach the gospel to the poor. Read. Huh? To heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. That sounds like the assignment of the apostolic ministry. Does that sound about right? Does that sound about right? I can't do it unless the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, it's the next verse that gets me. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All righty then. I wonder which year that is. The years of Jesus' active ministry was about three and a half years. I wonder which year he was talking about. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So I got the brethren in our church that are up and coming in the ministry, and I put this out as a challenge question to them. I said, I want you to come back next week and I want you to tell me what you believe the acceptable year of the Lord is. Boy, they went home, they got their thesauruses out and they got their dictionaries and they got their encyclopedias and they got their concordances and they got their Bible charts and atlases and I don't know what all they did. Those that had iPads, they cross-referenced this and cross-referenced that. And they came back the next week and they had all kinds of stuff about the year of Jubilee and this and this and this and this and this. And all these elaborate definitions and descriptions and what they felt was the acceptable year of the Lord. And I listened to them. And when they were finished, and you're going to maybe think I'm oversimplifying it, but when they were finished, I said, it's all very nice. All very nice. And there's an element of truth in everything you said. But let me tell you what the acceptable year of the Lord is. It's the year you say it is. You have the power. The preached word is what determines it. Brethren, I'm not a preacher's preacher, but I'm just going to tell you, we get what we preach. If we preach prayer, we get prayer. Some anyway. But we wouldn't get any if we didn't. If we preach worship, we get worship. If we preach holiness, we get holiness. If we preach this, we preach that, that's what we get. And if we preach negativism, that's what we get. And if we preach discouragement, that's what we get. And if we preach nobody wants this, this is what we get. And if we preach how bad things are all the time, that's what we get. But when we start preaching, hey, this is the time. This is the place. Our God is still on the throne. He can do the impossible. And we start preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that, do you? Praise the Lord. I guarantee you it will never happen if you don't preach it. I said, I guarantee you it will never happen if you don't preach it. It's when preachers can get up and say, I know it looks dark. I know it looks bad. I know times are hard. I know this and I know that. But our God is bigger. I don't know if you have to deal with this, Brother Joyner, in Belize, but when you can be seated, when I go to Brazil, this is what I hear. This is what I hear a lot. Well, you have to understand how things are in Brazil. They're different than in the States. And it's because you're an American, and because this, and because that, and you just don't understand, and we've got this problem, and that situation, and this other situation. And I listen to them, and then I say, hey, all the reasons you have just given may be true and may be valid, but do you think the apostles had a piece of cake in the early days of the New Testament church? They were dealing with persecution and opposition and trouble on every hand, and they still turned the world upside down. I'm telling you, we will have what we preach when we start preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. I'm going to be done in just a few minutes. John chapter 14. Brother Jackson referred to it yesterday, but I want to read it again here today anyway, because this passage bothers me. It may not bother you, but it bothers me. Everybody who's finished, say amen. Almost tripped you. John 14, verse 12. Read it, elder. Verily, verily. When a rabbi in those days was going to say something of importance, he would raise one hand and say, verily. If he was going to say something of double importance, he would raise both hands. It was a call to attention. What I'm about to say is important. Verily, verily. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Huh? And greater works. Oh, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. I'm telling you, I'm looking at a bunch of apostolics that don't believe that. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Read. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. And then the verse that the elder had us put our finger on yesterday, verse 14, says what again? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Pity that doesn't work. Pity that doesn't work as good as Acts 2:38 does. Pity that's not as true as Acts 4:12. Pity that's in a lesser category than the one God scriptures. Then why would Jesus raise both hands and say, verily, verily? And so then I read where Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. And they came to the gate, beautiful. I saw that gate when we were in Israel. It's also the Eastern Gate, called the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate. It's all closed up today. It's also in Muslim control. But they passed by, and there's a lame man. You know the story. lame man, lame from his mother's womb, had never walked a day in his life. Who, when he saw Peter and John, he expected to receive something. And Peter turned to him and said, "Tell you what, friend, we're on our way to a prayer meeting right now. What's your name? We're going to mention your name. We're going to mention your name in prayer. Promise you, we're going to pray for you. We're going to lift you up." Would have been nothing wrong with doing that. Y'all ain't getting this. But the one of the ones that Jesus said, "I'm going to give this to you. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Freely you have received." So Peter looks down at him and he says, "Look on us." First thing we got to do is get your head up. Some of you need to get your head up. "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none." Brother Gross, I thought about this today when you were talking about we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. He wasn't just saying I don't have currency. He was saying what I have is better than the corruptible. What I have is incorruptible. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I know." Such as I know. Such as I've heard about. Such as was preached to me. Such as I have. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the hand and immediately. I don't know what to say about this, brethren. I'm just telling you, the Bible says immediately. His feet and ankle bones received strength, and a man who had never walked a day in his life, whose legs are probably all withered and twisted, leaping up stood and went with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Y'all listening to me? It's about to happen here tonight. Y'all listening to me? What I mean by it's about to happen, we're about to pray and God's going to do things here tonight. And it's not going to take long. Brethren, I'm not going to make any boasts and claims that I have that degree of confidence and assurance. But whatever it takes to have that kind of apostolic authority, I am praying God give it to us. I'm so tired of coming to meetings like this one and all over the country, amen, where 80 to 90% of the people are sick in one way or another. And we've got all this powerful singing and powerful preaching and folks go home just as sick as when they came. And I read in my Bible over and over where multitudes of those that were sick were brought to Him and He healed them all. And He said, "In greater works than these shall you do." My God, why couldn't it happen here tonight? Where He would heal them all. As we all stand, thank you for your patience. I still went longer than I intended to. But hear me now. We think it's hard for our churches to grow and have revival. I'm talking about the indispensable element of the supernatural. Whatever we've got to do, we need to seek God until He is working with us and confirming the Word with signs following. You know what? One great miracle of healing in your community, and you can have a bigger revival on your hands than you ever dreamed. one supernatural act of divine deliverance, and you could have a bigger revival than you know what to do with. When I was 18 years old, I preached in two churches in Brazil. One had been started because of a woman who was dying of cancer, was on her deathbed, and God healed her. And it gave birth to a church that still exists today. And another one was a young lady who was 18 years old who was delivered from demonic possession. I have pictures of her. I was 18 years old. And through that tremendous miracle and the word spreading through the community, it gave birth to that church. We think it's hard. It's hard. And it is hard by ourselves. But when God gets involved and begins to confirm the word with signs following, I'm telling you, it's easy. Here's something else, and then we're going to pray. Our young people need to see it. Our young people need to experience it. I have talked to preachers who have told me, in 30 years of ministry, I don't think I have ever seen a real bona fide miracle. It's a sad testament. Our young people need to see it, so that they know there's something bigger going on here than in that world out there. There's something more powerful about this Holy Ghost than there is in drinking and boozing and partying. The elder, give me liberty tonight. We don't have time to pray for everybody individually. But I want these preachers that are here, I'm going to ask every preacher that's here, every preacher in this building, lift your hand. There's preachers all over this building. If you are a real apostolic minister, you have been given power. There are needy people in this room. I want those that can to come to the front. And there's not going to be room for everybody. And so those that can't come to the front, to step out into the aisle, that need a touch from the Lord tonight. Doesn't have to be healing. It can be divine intervention of some kind or another. If we need to move some of these chairs out of the way, let's move them out of the way. This won't take long. Come on, folks. Keep your attention up here. I want this church to begin to pray. Begin to pray with me. Begin to pray with me. If you're a preacher tonight and you hold back, you're not worthy of your calling. And I'm not normally that bold and that audacious. I don't want no evangelist propping the wall up or anything else. If you have an apostolic ministry and a calling, if you're in full-time ministry, or maybe you're a lay minister that has a ministry recognized by your pastor, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. You have been given power to heal the sick. I don't know what's going to happen here tonight, but I believe God's going to do something here tonight. I want us all to lift our hands and pray. And preachers, if you would, please just make your way through this group of people. All of you, all of you, all of you. Come on, brethren. You that are over here, you that are over here, make your way through this group of people. And I want you to lay hands on these people with the thought on your mind, I have been given power. I have been given power to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. Come on. I believe God is going to confirm His word here tonight. God is going to confirm His word here tonight. There's some down the aisle that somebody needs to pray with. There's people down the aisles that need somebody to pray with. Lay hands on them. Believe God. Exercise your apostolic authority. Pray with passion. Pray with conviction. Pray with anointing. Come on! Come on! Come on! He's a healer! He's a deliverer! He's a savior! He's a miracle worker! Come on, brethren, if you can, start making your way down the aisles and pray for some of these folks. Hallelujah. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, come on, believe God, believe God, believe God. He's working right now. He's working right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, touch these men. Touch these women. Touch these young people. Touch these good saints of God. Touch these folks that need salvation. Touch them that need deliverance. Heal to the uttermost. Heal, save, deliver, change. Come on, believe Him, believe Him, believe Him, believe Him, believe Him. Somebody to pray with you, make your way up if you can. Get close to a preacher. Have them lay hands on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A few more minutes. A few more minutes. A few more minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Believe when you pray. Believe when you get prayed for. Believe, 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 believe. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Tonight, God. Tonight, tonight, tonight. confirm your word tonight with signs following. Oh, God. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah.
Come on, reach out and touch the Lord. Touch Him. Holy Ghost is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Miracles is here. Deliverance is here. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts is just the same. You won't leave here like you came, Jesus' name. Oh, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. I believe that. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. Well, the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts has never changed. You won't be here like the day Jesus came. Oh, you won't be here like the day. The book.